Today I'm going to be starting in John chapter 5 and reading till verse 12. That's where we're actually going to see the miracle of the blind man unfold this week. Starting in verse 5, it says this: "While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes open?" they demanded. He replied, "The man they call Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. Today we are blessed to continue through the sixth miracle of John's gospel. It has seven specific miracles that Jesus did throughout his ministering to others. John desired for those who heard his gospel and those who read it to walk away with spiritual lessons from these miracles. The seven miracles that Jesus performed in John are Jesus changing water into wine at the wedding in Cana, the healing of the royal official's sons, the healing at the pool of Bethsaida as a lame man walks, the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus walking on the water, and the blind man from birth is given sight, and eventually followed by the raising of Lazarus from the dead. You know, we can look at the other gospels and know that John could have included more, but he chose these seven. And to understand why he did, we look towards John 20:31, as he says this: "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and by believing you may have life in his name." These are the miracles that are significant to John, and for him, they point to the understanding that Jesus is God's Son, and through him we have life. They point to spiritual truth. Think of some of the points that stand out in these miracles. The wedding at Cana displays that Jesus, he enters into our moments of joy, he sees our celebrations, and he desires for us to have those. But even more than that, Jesus is the author of those moments, as he is the provider of joy. We see in miracles of John that Jesus is the restorer of health. He's the provider for all of humanity's needs. He's the Savior as he saves people, even those who desire not to be saved. We are told of these miracles that show our broken and lost condition. But thankfully, they do show that God's grace is for all sinners, as God's grace is given to those who believe on Jesus Christ as their Savior. His grace, it's an irresistible grace, and one that when it is on display, entices those to follow him. That is why we have stuff like the prayer challenge, where it's like, "God, lead me into these places, show me where I need to be so I can be a part of this good news that you want to spread. I want to be a part of that, enticing others to join you." So here we are in John 9. We find that there's a blind man that has received sight, even though he's blind from birth, from Jesus Christ. When this story is analyzed, we can see how the nature of salvation plays out in a similar way to the healing of the blind beggar, as Jesus meets us where we are at, no matter where that location may be, no matter what we're doing, no matter what sin we're engulfed in. Jesus meets us where we are at. Jesus saves us from our spiritual blindness, just as the blind man was saved from his condition of being blind. The miracle in question today, it involves a blind man. I can't imagine any of us would desire to be blind. So immediately, we need to understand that this blind man, especially in this culture, was considered a lesser than. I don't want to get chewed alive for saying that a blind person's a lesser than, because they're not. But in this culture, it stands out that they would be a lesser than. This person has very low status. And because it's magnified during this time of his status, people just look at him and pass him by and see him as some sort of sinner. They would have pitied him for his condition. They would have walked by, and like the disciples, they would have seen him and said, oh my goodness, that guy is caught up in sin. And if he's not, then guess what? His parents or another one of his family members are. He is a pitied individual. We're not actually told much about this man before the miracles occur. But after Jesus gives him sight, we find a man that is passionate about spreading the word of who Jesus is as he's defensive of Jesus. He defends Jesus' person and character, and he battles on behalf of him towards those who want to bring him down, which include people like this blind man's family, neighbors, and even his temple leaders, which would be the pastors of those day. We start off knowing this man is simply a blind beggar. He had been blind since birth. And so, like I said, his condition leaves him labeled as condemned. And he's supposedly suffering in a hopeless blind state for the rest of his life. Remember Jesus' disciples, they say this, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? So this, like I say, is not a normal aspect of society, but instead, he's seen as a sinner and someone not to be associated with. We can truly be brutal sometimes as a church and as followers of Jesus, because we do the same thing. So being blind, he can't see Jesus. However, Jesus sees him. And so Jesus stops in front of this blind man. And I want us to kind of use our imagination at this point in time, as we could probably assume that this blind beggar understood or sensed that there was a man in his personal bubble. You know how when it's dark out and you're camping, it's pitch black, and you're playing a game of tag or hide and seek, and you can just sense when the person is next to you searching for you, because you can hear the crunch on the ground or something around that. So this blind man, having been blind for life, would have understood that there's probably someone standing right in front of him. It's possible. But in this moment, the blind beggar probably had no idea as to how his life would become a new one, all because Jesus met him. And so if we were the blind person, we would probably hear all these people chattering around us. And can you imagine being this blind person, hearing someone say, oh, they're blind because of their sin, or they're blind because their parents have sinned? And just that's what you're hearing around you, as there's another person being questioned about this on your behalf. And the blind guy is probably just sitting there with his hand out, waiting for money, probably just wishing that these people would either go away or throw a coin in his hands. He's not thinking in this moment that his sight would be restored. After all, why would he think that? This is a man that has been blind since birth. Is it something that he would even truly desire in this moment? Being born blind, he probably wouldn't comprehend the true value of vision. He did not know what it was like to see. He did not understand that. You know, if our lives took an unfortunate turn, let's say at the age of 30, 40, or even 75, and our sight was suddenly taken away from us, we would understand the concept of sight and what it was to have seen at one point in time. We would understand what the loss of that sight was, though, as well. And our hearts would desire to be able to see again and gaze upon the loves and passions of our lives. We would have seen God's glorious creations as our eyes. They look out and they see the forests around us. They see the Rockies and the silhouettes of the sunset. And it would just, If you're up north, you see these beautiful sunsets of purple, orange, and red, and it's just amazing to see. And it's stuff that has been presented to us by our Creator. And every one of us would understand the value of having seen, and we would be so outraged and disappointed in losing our vision. But this blind beggar, he knew nothing of those visions. He didn't understand that. His breath had not been taken aback by the shimmering glass of a calm lake. His eyes had never seen that. So his true value of vision is not there. Although he would understand that he was missing out on something because people would have commented around him on visions that they took in. So the value is somewhat there. It's just not the true value. So when we come to this man in the story, we don't even know if he's praying for his sight at this time. The lame man at the pool in John 5, he clearly states that he desires to walk again. But in John 9, nothing is said of what this man desired. We know that he's a beggar and that he's blind and his condition has left him without hope. And he was probably at the stage of his life where he knew he would never see in his lifetime. I guarantee you that in this interaction with Jesus, this man was not prepared to see in the next few minutes. He had lived every day the way he was, and he had no favorable qualities because of this. And this is how Jesus found him. This is what we know, that Jesus saw him. And this is when we see that there are areas that this man has kind of a favorable light about him. You see, if we are reading in the culture of this time, he has no favor about him. But as we read, we should be seeing that there is a favorable light upon him, as the blind beggar was in a place that Jesus is going to pass by. This is not something that the blind man planned. Although he probably went to this exact spot every day, he did not plan his encounter with Jesus. Every day he had gone to the gate of the temple, and while he was there, he'd ask for alms, which are just donations from people, from the thousands upon thousands of people that would pass through the gate of the temple, just so he could live his life. But today was a special day for him, as today is the day that Jesus passes by him at the temple. And Jesus saw the blind man. He found him. And this is what describes people who are among us as neighbors today. Maybe it even describes you. Just like the blind man's spiritual truths are not seen, they're not understood. People have heard the gospel preached. They have read New York Times bestsellers by followers of Jesus and Christians. They have read the Bible, and yet they, maybe even you, do not understand the words of Jesus. Nor do they see in their times of hearing about him, Jesus. It is because of these moments that the value of Jesus Christ becomes a lesser than, and his true value is lost and unknown. Maybe for you today, spiritual truths that never be understood, and the lack of these truths has left a diminished value of God's truth. Your sight is similar to that of the blind beggar. Does that mean you are stuck in this condition? Is all hope lost? I guess people can pass by a blind soul, one that is broken and full of sin. We as Christians can walk by them, see them, and we can throw a nice little donation their way towards their soul, a nice statement that makes them feel better. But they're spiritually lost and blind when they're apart from Jesus, so they need him. Today, you might be like the blind man. You are favored, as today you are in a place where Jesus is. You did not plan to interact with him, but you are in a place where he is. Jesus sees you. Jesus sees you in your broken and blind state, and he weeps with you and for you. just as you weep for the sorrows that you have in your life. He sees you, his beautiful creation. And he is thinking of what he will do in your life and what he will make of you. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world, Jesus says. Jesus wants to eradicate your darkness and he wants to restore spiritual sight to you. And one funny part about John chapter 9, I find, is in verse 11. And in that particular verse, when you read it, the blind beggar refers to Jesus as the man they call Jesus. You know, his neighbors, he had ran home, and so his neighbors were all gathered around on the scene. And in the story, they're wondering whether the man before them is the guy who was blind since birth. They were literally questioning it. They looked upon him, they're like, oh, I don't know, is this the guy? Could be. It seems like it, but he can see. They had a hard time understanding that a miracle had occurred and that transformation had occurred in this blind man. He was blind before, now he is not. John chapter 9, 11, he replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Shalom and wash, so I went and washed, and then I could see. Friends, from that statement today, I want to remind you that Jesus is 100% a man, and he is 100% divine. Jesus is more than a man or the man, as the blind man called him. Jesus just healed a man that was born blind. I can say that that's not a common occurrence among human beings. When's the last time we were hanging out at Walmart or, some other location, and you got into a conversation with someone, and they were like, yeah, I was blind yesterday, but some guy spat in mud, rubbed it on my eyes, and now I see. That is probably something that has not ever occurred while you're standing in line. Jesus is the incarnation. He is God in the flesh, and he is the one that carries out this act in the blind man's life. The Bible speaks of him as the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Jesus is the Ancient of Days. He is the great I Am, Yahweh, El Elyon, Adonai. He is the Lord of hosts, and he is Savior of the world. Jesus is all of these things, and he is more than the man they call Jesus. In the first chapter of John, it's revealed this, that God humbly comes in the flesh. This is a part of his glory. And that glory means that he becomes flesh for the sake of us as humanity, so he'll eventually die on that cross for each and every one of us as he takes our sins up there with him. J.B. Phillips writes this of Jesus' humanity. I had deep respect, indeed a great reverence for the conventional Jesus Christ whom the church worshiped, but I was not at all prepared for the unconventional man revealed in those terse gospels. No one could invent such a person. This was no puppet hero built out of the imagination of adoring admirers. This man, Jesus, so briefly described, rang true, sometimes alarmingly true. I began to see now why the religious establishments of those days wanted to get rid of him at all costs. He was sudden death to pride, pomposity, and pretense. This man could be moved with compassion and could be very gentle, but I could find no trace of the gentle Jesus, meek and mild. He was quite terrifyingly tough, not in a bulldog Drummond James Bond sort of way, but by sheer strength of a unified and utterly dedicated personality. He once at least walked unscathed through a murderous crowd. I've known a very, very few men who could do that. But then I find that the sheer strength was till his after hours of unspeakable agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. Those who were sent to arrest him fell back to the ground. Jesus was a man of such stature and quality that he could remain in the command of a situation even when the odds are heavily against him. This is the man, the divine one of John 9. And he just healed the blind beggar. And upon healing the man, the beggar's only thought then turns to the man who healed him. Think about that for a second. Jesus becomes the most important person in existence to him. And here's what the blind beggar knew of Jesus when he was healed. All he knew was that others called him the man, Jesus, as we read in John 9:11. That is all he knew of the one who healed him. This once blind man did not even physically set his eyes upon Jesus at first, as Jesus sent him to the pool of Siloam to clean off the clay from his eyes. The pool is the place where the healing occurred, and Jesus was not there. This man understood that Jesus is closer to him than any of his neighbors, though, and than any of his family, and even temple leaders, as he goes around telling them about how Jesus made clay from the dirt and from his spit. And how Jesus anointed his eyes with clay, how Jesus sent him to the pool in order to wash away the clay. And he told of how Jesus made it so he could see for the very first time in his life. And after people frown on him for his story and question, they interrogate him in John 9. And he bumps into Jesus yet again, and this is what he does in John 9:38. Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. I want us to analyze the heart of this man as we look at that, as this man who was once blind sees, but he didn't know who his healer was. He only knew the name. Guess what, friends? We only know the name of the person. Our eyes probably hasn't physically seen Jesus in the flesh. And our hearts should beat just as this man does, as we should be running around and telling our friends, telling our family, telling neighbors, telling everybody about the person of Jesus Christ, as he is the great healer. And in most instances, Jesus is healing our souls. And that should be our major focus, as we want everybody's souls to be healed and to be saved so they too can spend eternity with God. This man showed true courage, and this should just resonate with us. It should be our desire to do this, as we're in the communities and we're hanging around with people, and we should just exude the person of Jesus. It should permeate our entire being. We should make him the most important person in our life, the most important person in existence, just as the blind man. Our lives should become about him, and our words and hearts should reflect that all in all we do, that Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. And so today, I pray that you will see Jesus, and spiritually he will work in you so that you can actually see him, and you can actually understand his value. Not just hear about it, but understand his true value, so that you believe on him and you sing praises forever as you worship him, just as the blind man did. Our hearts should just reflect that as worship should just exude from us, as it did from the blind man towards Jesus. That's what I desire for my heart. That's what I pray for our church. I pray that our eyes are open on a spiritual level. Going back to John 9:7, Jesus says this. "Go," he told them, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. As I conclude today, I want to point out a simple command that is given to the blind beggar. It's a simple one, but it's a personal one. The blind man alone is directed to follow through with Jesus' command, as he's asked to do something out of obedience and respond to Jesus' touch on his life. The beggar in this moment, he could have ignored Jesus. And he could not, he could have avoided the pool of Siloam and just stuck with spit mud on his face. And he could have just been content with that, I guess. But this beggar, he chooses to go to the pool of Siloam and obey Jesus instead of just remaining to collect the coins that he was hoping to get at the temple gates. He acted out of obedience, and he cleansed his eyes in the pool, and it led to him receiving sight for the first time ever. So today, the gospel that comes to you, the spiritually blind, and Jesus gives you a simple command. He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. There's a personal calling upon each and every individual in this world, as you must believe. And then there's an act of obedience that is expected in this simple command. It's believing. He is the Son of God. Will you believe in Jesus? Will you put your trust in him? Simple acts of obedience. Today I say, follow the steps of the blind man when he walked. It's kind of interesting, eh? Follow in the footsteps of a blind man. He was very much blind, but he blindly followed Jesus. His act of obedience led to sight as he received spiritual sight, along with the physical sight. And afterwards, he was so ecstatic and delighted in the one who gave him sight. He was all about Jesus. Just as each and every one of us should be. Always. What a beautiful miracle for John to include in his gospel and to tell us about. As we are all blind spiritually, but we have been given spiritual sight when Jesus finds us and we respond in obedience. I pray that you have a blind man encounter with Jesus, and that through this encounter, you will see anew and see the value in your new sight and in your new life. I'll invite the worship team up. Lord Jesus, we just pray that today you open our eyes and that you reveal you and your true value. You reveal you and your desire for our hearts, Lord. I pray that we walk in the footsteps of you and we follow you blindly and we challenge our lives and we pursue you with our entire being. Let us be a church that gets the message out there to people, just like the blind man, as we excitingly tell about who you are, Jesus, and how you save and how you heal and how you've transformed lives. I pray that our hearts be as yours. In your name, Jesus. Amen.